Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Dr. Johnette McCown. She has provided leadership to McLennan Community College for 20 years as Vice President of Business Services, then Executive Vice President, and in February 2009, she was named the college's third president. Hosting the conversation is Sandra Sanchez.
This is Sandra Sanchez, Assistant Opinions Editor for the Waco Tribune Herald, talking today with MCC President Johnette McCown during KWBU-FM's series on leadership in Central Texas. We look forward to hearing how Dr. McCown is guiding her staff, students, and an institution that is so vital to Central Texas. Dr. McCown, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, you have been Executive Vice President of McLennan Community College since 2002, and on September 1, 2009, you became only the third president of MCC in its history, 44-year history, and the first woman. How different in terms of leadership has it been going from executive vice president to president?
Well, I would just say that the difference is primarily in being more strategic and less operational. As you think about the future and being visionary, you have to have a much broader perspective, and I have to rely a lot more on my leaders to help along the way. So the leadership is more broad-based, and it's more dependent upon others. I was recently in Utah and noticed the large mountains there, and I thought about how you have to be at the top to see far, but you're so dependent on everybody else to be successful.
Does being a woman change the dynamics a bit, make it better, make it tougher?
Well, I've never seen myself differently as a female. The only thing I would say is people tend to be more cognizant of your appearance than I remember of males, and that seems kind of strange, but that's kind of the way I see it. Other than that, I've been accepted well by all of my peers, and so I feel really good about where we're headed.
Have there been any female leaders that you've looked upon in your life or famous women in history that have helped kind of guide what you do for your institution?
Well, it's not as broad as that so much, but I would say my mother has been the largest influence on my life as far as character traits and leadership and how I behave and those kinds of things, because I grew up in pretty much a male-dominated leadership society. But I would say from my perspective, it's been my mother who's been the most influential.
And tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Farmerville, Louisiana. It's a small town in northern Louisiana. And it was a very interesting time. I was very involved in many organizations and activities. It was a very family-oriented society. We spent much time on the lakes, fishing or swimming or those kinds of things. My mother was a school teacher, and she also coached basketball periodically. My dad owned a filling station and then later weighed trucks for the state of Louisiana. I was very involved in Girl Scouts the whole way, and I still am involved with them today. I went to the last Girl Scout roundup that was ever held, and my friends in patrol get together periodically to have reunions, so that's really a pretty neat thing. I also, as I was growing up, received a library internship. I thought maybe initially I might be a librarian, and so I spent the summer around Union Parish on a bookmobile, going around to the small communities and allowing people to check out books. So it was an exciting growing up. I was active in the band. I was active in many other things, 4-H, another one, my church, have a great sense of faith. So it was a wonderful time growing up in a small town in Louisiana, and then I went to Louisiana College, a small Baptist college in the center of Louisiana.
You mentioned Girl Scouts. Do you think that helped to prepare you as a leader, take on challenges? Do you think it helped to give you self-confidence, and do you think that helps to give young girls self-confidence in today's society?
Well, I think Girl Scouts has probably changed a little bit, but I really have always stated that Girl Scouts was a big part of what led me to be a leader, as well as the influence of my mother. It teaches you character traits, teaches you teamwork, teaches you self-confidence. So I feel like Girl Scouts was a great way for me to learn.
Now, when you came to MCC, let's talk a little bit about the institution. In 1989, there were 5,000 students, and the institution was worth about $41 million. When you took over as president, there were about 9,000 students, and the institution was in excess of $150 million in value. Now, what is the population at MCC now? And you have grown, correct, as far as buildings and land and everything?
Yes, we are up to around 11,000 students, plus around 900 in the University Center, and we're now over 1 million square feet. We added about 40% square feet when we passed the bond election and built the new building. So it's an exciting time to be at MCC.
How do you manage such a vast place and so many people? You mentioned earlier your staff, so do you rely heavily?
Right. I'm very dependent on staff. I mean, I'm just one of a group of people. We have an enrollment management plan that we look at very carefully to make sure that we're adding appropriate classes for students, and we're growing a lot in the online world. In 1998, we only had 13 sections of online courses. We have 330 sections today. We're trying to find opportunities for students to be successful and for them to have some control over their destiny as far as the classes are concerned.
So online courses are going to play a big part in the future of higher education, correct?
I think they will. I think particularly for adults, they need some flexibility in schedules. They don't work for everyone. The face-to-face courses are another good option. But for some people, it gives them control over what they can do and when they can do it. And we are just very concerned about ensuring integrity of those courses and that they're very well done. And so we're working on that as well. So I think it's going great. We have some wonderful teachers who are teaching those.
Now, during this tough economy, all of the officials say we're starting to come out of the recession, but did you see an uptick in students because they wanted to get another degree? They thought this would make them more valuable in the workforce, and it was more economical to perhaps take courses in their hometown rather than moving away.
That's absolutely true. And it always happens that way in tough economies. People are looking for ways to better themselves. We have a lot of students on financial aid. We have a lot of students who are going to school part-time and working full-time. And so I think people are looking for opportunities. And here in Waco, it's much easier to stay at home and go to school than to relocate somewhere else.
Now, talk a little bit about your background. Can you empathize with how hard it is to pay for college, how hard it is to better yourself? Or do you come from a wealthy background?
Oh, no. My mother is a school teacher and my dad having a filling station. When I went to college, they didn't have student loans or grants. I worked part-time. My grandfather died in the line of service as a police officer. He left all of the grandchildren a little bit of money. My mother had an insurance policy, and so we put it all together to graduate, but it wasn't something that just happened. I never had a car the whole time I was in college, and I was 120 miles away from home, so I hitched rides back and forth. So I do not come from a wealthy family, but I do have a great concern for all students, but particularly for those who don't have the resources to do what they want to do to achieve.
That's fascinating. I understand that you also have scholarships that are available. And one time you mentioned that some of the money, at your disposal can even go to help a student with bus fare, tuition, books. But tell me a little bit about and when they come to you, what you do for them and how you determine who needs what.
Well, as far as the emergency fund that you refer to, when I was teaching part-time and achieving college success, I saw students who in the middle of the semester would drop out because they didn't have all the resources they needed. So after I had two nephews who committed suicide, my husband and I set up an emergency fund. It's in the foundation, and we contribute to it all the time so that students who are going to drop out will have a place to go, and it has paid for bus fares. Recently, we had a nurse who was trying to graduate, and she couldn't work as many hours, and she was at her wit's end. They gave her a small grant. It's to help students, no strings attached, so that they can get to the end of the semester. So I'm pretty excited about that fund, and it's a great way to help students who get into school, but staying into school is another challenge.
We're talking today with McLennan Community College President Johnette McCowan here at KWBU's series on leadership in Central Texas. This is Sandra Sanchez. Dr. McCowan, you were talking about the emergency fund that you set up. It's amazing to me, the thought that a student can approach a president of a college. You seem very approachable. I don't know many colleges in which a student could feel that way. It's like a unique type of leadership.
Well, now, of course, the students in the emergency fund go to the foundation, so I don't pick the students and send them. But I do have a good relationship with many kinds of students. I have presidential scholars, and so I have a great time working with them as they volunteer in the community and as they do projects together and that kind of thing. And I have gotten to know some students. I taught a class this past semester. I developed a hybrid class for developmental English, which is really one of my special areas. And I've been working with those students to help them get to the next level. So it's really great to get to know students from the very lowest educational attainment level to those who are very, very bright.
How important is it that the community helps and supports financially, emotionally, the foundation and the funds?
Well, the foundation just makes the difference for many students on going to school or not. And in our community, we have a very high poverty level. Quite a few of those students do qualify for grants or loans, doesn't necessarily take care of it all. And then there are others who are just struggling to get ahead. So the foundation is the cornerstone of what helps us help our community.
And despite these tough economic times, you still see plenty of giving here in Central Texas, correct?
Yes, many people have been very generous, and we've had several big initiatives in the foundation, not only scholarships, but also we have people who are giving to our new buildings to provide the technology and simulation equipment for the nursing area. We have people who've given to the Steinway program. We became an all-Steinway school, which is just excellent for all of our students. So the foundation is really critical, and the people have been very generous.
Now, talking about the community, aside from meeting some of the student needs, MCC also works very closely with the local businesses to find out what skills employers are looking for to help meet workforce needs, correct?
That's correct.
How do you do that?
We have advisory boards for all of our programs so that people in the fields can tell us what we should be doing. We also do graduate surveys, and we do countywide employer surveys, and then we have our continuing education people who work directly with businesses through skills development so that we can provide additional training for their entities.
Have the courses you've offered changed significantly? Are the career tracks different today than they were?
Well, I guess they're continuing to change, and we're changing with that. The transfer function is still very, very popular as people are seeking four-year degrees. We've added things like forensic science. We're getting ready to add occupational therapy. We've added medical assisting. We've added an additional law enforcement academy. So many of those are the same, but there are new programs coming online each year.
So as a leader, you have to remain flexible and able to just go with whatever the institution needs to do in order to provide the needs of the area, correct?
That's correct. We have to be attuned to what the people in the area are telling us, what we hear, and to try to move ahead. And that's part of the reason for the University Center. Some people can go to Baylor, and that's great, and we have a lot of good relationships with them. But then we also have added Tarleton and Texas Tech, as well as some online, to give other opportunities for students when the schedule for Baylor may not meet their needs, or maybe they just can't do the finances.
Now, just to clarify for listeners, the University Center is a place where students can go at MCC and receive degrees from four-year institutions such as Tarleton State, yet they take the courses on the MCC campus, correct?
That's correct. We have bachelor degrees, about 28 degrees. We have master's degrees and even one doctorate. There are also some online options with other institutions. But this is a growing program, and again, it's not to replace Baylor, but it's to supplement the education in our area.
So that goes back to what we were talking about with the tough economy. Somebody who wants to go and get this four-year degree doesn't doesn't necessarily have to leave their hometown if it's Waco and spend that cost, correct, to move?
That's correct. And I think when I was growing up, that was common. You decided where you were going to go and you relocated. Today, that's not so easy for many families. So it just provides a different option, particularly since the University Center partners, they have some day classes, and that's good. We like to expand those. And they also have evening classes, and they have some online offerings as well.
Now, in the past few years, a few extra buildings have been added, including a science building. And from what I'm hearing you say, science tracks are some of the most popular tracks, correct? Could you explain a little bit about the expansion? And I understand that all these buildings were built to LEED specifications.
That is correct. The taxpayers of our county granted us to borrow money so that we could build the buildings. We were really fortunate on the interest, and so we've spent over $80 million, including interest. We've done everything we've told folks that we would do. The buildings are built to LEED criteria, and in fact, the Michaelis Academic Center will be named LEED Gold in the next few weeks. The other two, the new science building and will probably be LEED Gold too, we think, and then the Emergency Services Education Center will be platinum. We've had some very gracious donors in the science building, so there's some beautiful pieces of art, courtesy of the Hawkins, and it's got the latest of everything. We've done it as well as we possibly can without being extravagant, so it's an exciting time as we build to these standards, which makes the buildings healthier buildings, and also because of the upfront investment, it's going to cost less to operate these buildings throughout their life.
So now when you refer to LEED for our listeners, this is a way of creating a building which is environmentally more sustainable, more environmentally friendly, correct?
That's correct. It has more light in the building. It was built with materials that are healthier for folks. We didn't put as much material into the landfill. The HVAC systems are more energy efficient, and so there are just many things that make them more attractive for today and for tomorrow.
So environmentalism and sustainability is very important to MCC, and it sounds like to you as a leader as well.
It really is. We want to be a leader in making our environment better, into teaching responsibility to our students, and to make sure that we're doing everything we can for our students today and tomorrow.
Going back to leadership, what is the hardest decision that you've had to make at MCC?
Well, it's going to maybe surprise you, but I think the hardest decision really relates to employment. Having the very best people in the right jobs is so important. So I think identifying the best leadership team who can take the vision of the Board of Trustees and move it forward and sustain our community. You have to have good people who you can trust. You can have people who are smart, who are competent, and who can be part of the team. And so that's really been the hardest decision, is identifying the right team.
This is Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald. We're talking today with Dr. Johnette McCowan, president of McLennan Community College. Dr. McCowan, you were talking about leadership traits. What is the most dangerous leadership trait that a leader can possess?
I think not being truthful. I think if you must have integrity, and people must be able to trust you, because if you can't, then I don't know how people can follow. So I think that's really the most important thing.
Any advice that you would give someone who strives to be in your type of position one day, leading hundreds of employees and a great institution like MCC?
I think you always have to be true to who you are. You can't be afraid to take risks, although you have to evaluate what the consequences are going to be and be willing to deal with what that might be. I think you also have to build relationships, because it does not matter what kind of knowledge, skills, or abilities you might have. If you can't build relationships, ultimately there's going to be some problems. So I think you have to care more about others. You have to continue to learn. You also have to be prepared to allow others to fail and to pick them up.
And you have in excess of 550 employees at MCC, is that correct?
Well, actually, if you count the part-time, it's over a little bit over 800.
And as you mentioned earlier, being a woman does not seem to factor in to your decision-making process, other than what you said, your appearance. We sat down for a Q&A interview for the Waco Tribune Herald just days before your inauguration in 2009, and I asked you what it was like to be the first female president of MCC, and you answered at the time, quote, "I've always just thought of myself as the leader who was a woman, not a woman who was the leader." So where do you go from here with that? You know, you just walk into that boardroom and you just hold your own, and it just doesn't matter.
Well, I think it's important to listen to others, and I really don't worry about being a female, because I've never been treated better or worse, I think, because of that. And that's really what I want. I want to be treated for whatever skills and leadership that I might have. And we have a wonderful board of trustees, and they're very collaborative. They work with me. They make suggestions. It's a very interactive experience. And so, to me, it's just a great time to be a leader.
You do have a reputation as being a workaholic. Is that still the case, or do you have any new hobbies or interests that are taking away some of your time, less time at the office?
Well, I really don't think of myself as a workaholic. I think of myself as just enjoying what I do. And part of the things that I do that some people might think a workaholic is really kind of a release for me. I love going to the MCC performances. They're fabulous if you've not been to one. I also love going to the sports events. So the things that I do because I enjoy doing them. I do like to cook and read, and I love to return to Louisiana periodically to spend time with my sister. And my sisters and I also plan a vacation every year together so that we can still have the family unit and remember what life's been like. So I enjoy meeting people, and I don't do anything that I really consider work. I just consider it enjoyable.
You mentioned some of the arts performances. MCC does contribute a lot and give back to the arts in our community, and there's opportunities for people to enjoy the campus, right?
That's really true. And some people enjoy just coming out and walking around the campus. We do have a beautiful campus. The theater performances, the music performances are as good as you will find anywhere, and most of them are free. Some we charge for. And also the performances at the Bosque River Stage. So there's some wonderful experiences for the community, and we love everyone coming to see us.
Well, you sound very approachable, so they can just stop by the office and say hi. There's a bowl of candy there, huh?
They pretty much can. I may or may not be in the office, but I'm welcoming everyone every time.
Tell us a little bit about your educational experience. You are Dr. McCown now, but tell us where you got your undergrad and your graduate degree.
Well, I began my career at Louisiana College. It's a bachelor's in English. Thought I was going to be a librarian. They discontinued their library science program, so I became an English teacher. Then when we moved to Denton, I was a secretary for a while after I taught school. My next degree I got while I was at Paris Junior College. I got it at Texas A&M Commerce. I received a master's in reading and community and higher education. Then I decided there were more things I wanted to do. So I received an associate degree after my master's. I took accounting courses and computer science courses, and that gave me a new career because I became a CFO after that. Then I finished my doctorate after my associate. So it was a little bit out of order, but it's easy for people to do. I transferred back in my degree, my coursework from Louisiana College, and then took the courses at Paris Junior College and achieved a degree.
So you did bounce around a little bit. And it's interesting to hear. I mean, I'm not to pigeonhole, but when I think of a librarian, I think of a kind of a person who's quiet and not so outspoken. And you're not at all that way.
Well, I'm probably an introvert at heart. And I love to read books, and that's probably why I was interested in library science. But I love English, and I love helping people to learn. And that's why I did some things in reading and learning skills when I was at Paris Junior College and have taught part-time at McLennan Community College. Also, during about a 10-year period, I taught business and finance in the doctoral program at Baylor. I developed that course and taught it for the duration. So that was kind of a fun time, too.
With such an English background, do you write your own speeches? Do you write your own reports?
Well, I do. In fact, I write a board newsletter every month, and I was thinking about that recently. Having some writing skills, it's very important to a lot of careers, but English has been very important to me as I do those things, and I do write my speeches as well.
Would you recommend to today's students to spend a little bit more time concentrating on English and grammar? Do you see that kind of deteriorating in this world of texting and short technology?
I think that could very well happen. One of my students in my developmental English was having trouble putting things together, and I suggested that she read some nonfiction just so that she could see what that looked like. But the skill in writing is something that can be in a lot of different careers, so developing that will be helpful in the years to come for anyone.
Well, I know that you've written a few pieces for the Waco Tribune Herald for the opinion page, and I've had the privilege of editing you, and there really hasn't been much to do to the pieces. They come over really clean, so you are a good writer.
Well, I try to be. I'm pretty particular about that, and I'm particular in developing that skill in a student. One of my students in my developmental English took the exit exam, and one of the other faculty members was surprised that she had no errors at all. So she had a perfect score. So that was good. I had another student who didn't, but it's kind of fun to help people to find what their potential is.
Now, before we close, what can the community do to help MCC? Where's the future, and what needs to be done in this partnership with our local community college?
Well, we need others to encourage those who are not at their potential to come back to school. We need people to help with the foundation, with scholarships. We really need the community to recognize how wonderful MCC is and to tell other people that they too can achieve their goals, even if it's later in life.
So although we've been talking about leadership and what inspires you, really the community can take a leadership role and step up, and we can all do this together.
That's correct. That's correct. We have three great institutions here in Waco with TSDC and Baylor and MCC, and we all have common goals to help the education level as well as the public schools do. So it's a partnership.
Dr. McCowan, thank you so much for talking with us today. This is Dr. Johnette McCowan, president of MCC Community College. And I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald.
You've been listening to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. This and past episodes are archived online at kwbu.org.